This is Near FM 90.3.
And welcome back to the last part of Northside Today here on Air FM. Myself, Noel McGuinness. It is exactly 12:30. And don't forget the numbers 867 1190 or text 0876 944500. And across from me now, a colleague, Paul Loughran. And we're going to talk about a terrific award and congratulate him for us. Congratulations on the award, Paul.
Thanks very much.
I'm sure it was on, it was a documentary on JJ Smith's the Blues Bar. And we're going to talk about that, you know, how it started off and all like that. But I hope you're going to be repeating the documentary.
As in making another one or as in...
No, repeating the one you did already.
Broadcasting it, yeah. Yeah, I think it's been played a couple of times on the RFM already. And actually, it's been played on about 5 community radios because I put it out through the Crail Network and a few community radios played it. So it was played on Wired and on, I think, Athlone and... Phoenix and a couple of others, I think Community Radio Y'all played it, but it was also selected for a festival in Canada. So last week, Noel, it was played on 6 different radio stations all over Canada as well, so that was pretty cool.
Oh, great, great. Okay, give us where did the idea come from? I mean, I know it's a well-known place and it's sort of part of history of Dublin as well, JJ's for the Blues and all like that, but to sort of signify and say, well, I'm going to do a documentary on that. When you heard
yeah,
story.
Well, funny enough, it wasn't my idea. Well, it kind of was. Myself and Kieran Murray here were talking with Pat Farrell, who was the Blues presenter on a Thursday on the RFM Behind the Groove at 2 o'clock. And Pat is a well-known blues guitar player in Ireland and has played in JJ's over the years.
I think he was a regular there, yeah.
Yeah, he was and has been, yeah. And Pat had suggested that it would make a good story because it looked like JJ's was going to close down. And he had said, you know, it'd be good to capture that story before the place closes down. So that was kind of the kind of seed of the idea to produce a story on JJ Smith's or trying to capture some sort of a history of the place as a blues and jazz venue before it closed down. And that's kind of where we went from there.
Yeah, as we know, like music in and out, different styles, whatever, ballads 1 minute and whatever it may be the next, but it was constant in JJ's. The blues was constant.
Yeah.
It was guaranteed there.
Yeah, and even more so, because I knew Pat more so than anyone, I kind of thought it was firstly a blues venue, but it was actually more a jazz venue.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was jazz that kind of, you know, it became more renowned for over the years. And Brian Smith, who you learned a lot about in the documentary, was the son of JJ Smith, and Brian was the one who kind of turned it into the venue that it became. And he was a jazz nut. He just loved all things jazz, and he used to travel over to the US and to the UK to see the famous jazz clubs in New York and other places and try and capture some of that for his own club back in Dublin. And so it became renowned as a jazz and blues club rather than just a blues club, although both forms of music were played there every night of the week. And that was the famous thing about JJ's, it was that there was always a gig every single night of the week. There was on there. You really hear that in the documentary.
I think twice on Sundays.
yeah, probably, yeah.
So for going back 30 years of people playing there, did you have any luck getting people from the instigation of the...
Yeah, I had on the documentary, I've got Nigel Mooney, who was the first man to ever play there.
Wow.
And he had his at the band at the time, he was only a young man, and he's since gone on to become one of the best known jazz guitar players ever to come out of Ireland. But his band was called the Gripewater Blues Band at the time. And he was looking for a gig, and you hear this story, I won't ruin it for listeners, but you hear this story in the documentary where he just happens upon JJ Smith. It wasn't that they were looking for a band, or, you know, it was just a coincidence that he happened to walk in there and meet JJ. And they said, you know, we've got the upstairs free on such and such a night, would you like to give it a go? And from there, it just took off.
Organic beginnings is
exactly.
Most great things are, yeah.
Yeah, and it's a lovely story because, because it was a exclusively jazz and blues venue for so long, it's amazing how it began, you know. It began organically, like you said, and it's great when music takes off in that way.
Okay, many episodes were there? Just remind our listeners of the. Is it just all done in one?
It's just a one-part documentary. Okay. About 40 minutes long. Yeah.
Okay, we keep it an ear over. Now we're going to play a little piece that's about 3.5 minutes long. What's involved in this?
Well, this is just an intro, with a number of voices on it, and then there's an interview with Donna Dunn, who was the singing barmaid in J.J. Smith's. So that's what you're going to hear now.
You found one. I've been going around a long time. I keep saying, do we have any singing barman or bar whatever in Plato? And you found one in JJ's. That's great.
I was trying to pull together a clip for you. I thought I already had a clip, an excerpt ready to play for you, and I realised that 12 o'clock I didn't have anything, so I pulled this together very quickly. So
great.
Hopefully
great.
I haven't messed up the edit.
Okay, you love it.
If an alien was transported to Dublin City and he was looking for some decent jazz and blues, there's one venue that would spring to mind.
JJ's was kind of like a state of mind.
Not only was it playing with Louis Stewart, but it was playing at JJ's, you know, which was already like a few years into its tenure as a major venue in town for live music.
It was quite intense, I suppose, at times, because it was a small space and there could be this real incredible jazz being played.
And in there, it just became like a family, another family that you had, you know, that's the vibe that was in there.
For me, JJ's was my sort of spiritual home.
JJ's was the place to play. I started playing there, I felt, oh great, we've arrived, we're finally playing in JJ's.
JJ's brought the best out of you as a musician, as a singer. The atmosphere in the place was just electric.
My name is Donna Dunn and I was the singing bar staff in JJ Smith's. I found JJ's about 3 years before I got the job there. I actually used to go in on a Thursday night or a Friday night. I used to go in to see the blues. I just loved it. I just loved the atmosphere of it, the audiences, and it was such a lovely, a special place, kind of a secret place in Dublin that not a lot of people knew about. Then I decided to get a job there because I liked it so much. And the music, of course, the musicians were just amazing. I was in Spain for 6 months working over there as a performer and a bar staff as well. And I needed a job pretty quickly when I came home. So I went up to JJ's and I went in and Brian was there. And I said, have you got any jobs? And he said, no, I'm really sorry, but I'll take your CV. And if anything pops up, I'll give you a call. And I was devastated because I was like, oh, this looks like a real easy kind of laid back bar. And I knew it was a blues bar as well. So I was very excited. Then I went up to Whelan's and I got a job up in Whelan's, but it was a bit crazy because the hours were just nuts. And 3 days later, Brian rang me and he said, there's a job open and someone's after leaving. And it never usually happened because the people that got a job there were 3 years there or 5 years or 10 years there. So it was just like complete luck and I couldn't believe it. And I was like, yeah, I can't wait. Anyway, yeah, so I went for the interview. And I got the job, obviously. But the only thing was, I wasn't a professional barmaid or bar staff whatsoever. And I actually didn't really know how to pull a pint of Guinness, but I told Brian I could. And he was like, oh, obviously you know how to change a keg, you know how to do this. And I said, yeah, of course I do. And I was a disaster. It took me 6 months to get fully trained, which I did, and yeah, so that's how I got a job there. I told him I was a musician, but I said to him, but I don't need every weekend off, you know, I'm not one of those musicians. I said I just do a few gigs here and there. I'm more of a songwriter, sitting in my room recording all the time.
Yeah, that's really great, Paul. I have to say, it's amazing. It sounds like everything down from the music, the start of that. To the staff, it's all organic. I mean, everything has just happened by chance. Okay, people don't have to wait for us to actually broadcast again because it's available to people there all the time. So tell us how people can get to hear it.
Yeah, it's online. It's on Near FM, our actual Listen Again service. So if you go onto the Near FM website, nearfm.ie, and you click on Listen Again, and then there's some tabs for documentary, and under documentary you'll find JJ's, or just type it into the search bar, JJ Smits,
okay,
and it will pop up. It's also on our SoundCloud page, so if you use SoundCloud and type Near FM into the search bar and you'll find it there, or just type JJ Smits into Google and it probably will pop up within the first couple of results. But I was just on the characters and on the people in it, like, they, you know, there's like literally hundreds of musicians have played in JJ Smits over the years, and if I had tried to interview all of them, I never would have made the thing. So there were a number of people that kind of came back straight away and were really up for it, and I got to interview. Others were kind of, you know, I just couldn't make it happen that I didn't interview them. So this is a story of JJ Smits. I'm not saying it's the definitive story, because, you know, there's other musicians who would have been very prominent there who aren't.
It sounds like you're itching to put another part two there.
No. I'm quite very much, this is a story that's told from my point of view anyway. But maybe someone else would like to come in and tell another version of it, because I'm sure there's millions of versions of any one story, you know.
Okay, well, we're talking about the bronze that you won at the New York Festival World Radio Awards. Now, is this something you submitted, or did someone heard about it? Tell me how it came
about.
Yeah,
no, we hadn't ever submitted anything to this before. We were kind of aware of it. RTE.com1 had won a number of awards at this particular festival over the years, and we'd done some work with RTE.com1, some training events and so on. So we're kind of aware of where they were putting their documentaries, and we're trying to, you know, put more time and promotion around the documentaries we're making here. And so we decided we'd enter this one in. And to our surprise, we got a bronze award in the radio music category, music documentary category. So we were delighted.
It's great. Yeah. Did that mean you had to travel to New York?
No. Unfortunately, no, I didn't get to travel to New York.
No, all expenses paid trips to New York.
No, I'm still waiting on Near FM to, I don't know, maybe a trip to the South Side or something might be on the cards.
It's absolutely great. But you're saying it's travel now to other countries like Canada and that. So tell me what's happening around there.
Yeah, there was another festival, kind of a, basically features documentaries from all over the world, and they played them on about 6 or 7 radio stations around Canada, and JJ was selected for that to be featured. So they picked different weeks in July, so I think it was all this week and last week JJ's is being broadcast on different Canadian radio stations. So
wow, it's getting great. Terrific. Okay, you said no part two, but JJ Smits, it didn't actually close down, did it? It just stopped the music, or what's happening there now?
Yeah, well, the ownership changed, so it's no longer in the Smith family, and it's no longer a jazz and blues club, and the new owners simply have kept the name. They haven't changed the name. So if you walk up Andrew Street now, you'll still see JJ Smits. I think they've probably changed the outside, given it a lick of paint, and the downstairs looks kind of the same, but maybe they've changed the layout a little bit. And unfortunately, what I've heard and what I think is going on is where the venue used to be, which would have been the first floor, is now going to be turned into Airbnb apartments.
Wow.
So it's a real shame, because, like I said, a very iconic Dublin venue.
And I'm sure there's lots of people who...
ceased to be completely.
Yeah. I'm sure there's lots of people who've been there over the 30 years and maybe have moved abroad and told people about it, and maybe it's become a little bit of a tourist destination. I'd love to know that.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe so. Like, you know, over the years, and you know, anyone that listens to the documentary will hear that, you know, there was quite high profile jazz and blues musicians played in JJ's over the years. So it did become known on that kind of scene that if you come to Dublin, play a gig, now your gig may not be in JJ's, your gig might be in The Point, or it might be in Vicar Street or Whelan's, you'd pop into JJ's and you might do a guest slot. So there was some very well-known musicians there over the years who were aware of JJ's and the impact it was having on the scene in Ireland. And the thing about it is, there isn't a dedicated jazz venue in Dublin. You know, if you look at other European cities like Paris or Budapest or Barcelona, London, There's dedicated jazz venues where probably state-funded jazz venues, because they know that it's important to have a venue for the local musicians to be able to play in. And JJ's kind of was the default jazz venue in Ireland, in Dublin.
It's funny, like most people, I mean, I think it's Ronnie Scott's in London is the,
Ronnie Scott's,
the place,
yeah.
So yeah. JJ's would have been the Dublin one. And I suppose if they're not sort of keeping up the music and they're even killing the old venue upstairs and changing it to something else, it'll probably do away with sort of the reminiscing and all that. People dropping in.
Like I know that there's Arthur's Pub up on just off Thomas Street, which is kind of keeping the flame alive for jazz and blues. So they're doing a great job. They're doing gigs every night of the week. But again, it's a venue. It's a pub. And pubs close down and licenses change and ownerships change. So until there's a kind of a, I think, until there's a government-sponsored venue for jazz and blues, then, you know, I think there's always a risk that the likes of JJ's, the likes of Arthur's will cease to be. And then it passes to some other publican or, you know, enthusiastic promoter to try and get it going somewhere else. But it's always temporary. And I do think that Dublin should be investing in a proper venue.
And maybe this documentary will instigate that.
Yeah, and you know, we touch on that in the documentary. And, you know, maybe it's the likes of the City Council, the Arts Council need to come together and they need to identify a venue in the city centre. Because, you know, the positive impact it would have, not just for the local musicians, but for tourists as well. You know, a lot of tourists will come looking, Where's jazz in this city? Where's blues in this city? And if we can't point towards a venue, then, you know, that's not a, you know, that's a bad sign for the future.
Yeah, it's about Dublin, the only thing that's missing, isn't it? I mean, there's loads of tourists come and they want to hear traditional music, so they know there's loads of venues, and then you've got the mixture of everything.
Yeah.
Of covers everywhere as well, but something just for blues and
jazz.
Yeah,
like, you know, we have government-sponsored theatres. Why not have government-sponsored music venues, you know?
Okay.
So I like the amount of music we create in this country, and it's not all traditional Irish music, you know, it's everything. And we, you know, there's New Park Jazz School now, you know, there's jazz and blues are being taught, and we're producing some phenomenal musicians on the scene, but they need to have somewhere to play.
Otherwise they'll end up like lots of everything else, to be sort of, I mean, when the brain drain, they call it, but the music drain is probably happening in different ways.
Yeah.
Okay, anything else, Paul? I mean, congratulations, no doubt about it. It's a wonderful, wonderful documentary, and it's great to get the award and see it's travelling around. And you mentioned Doc on One with RTE. It's something I listen to religiously, and if I miss it on Saturday, I catch it on Sunday because I think it's terrific. So it's great to see we're up there with them.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah, okay. It was a labour of love, I guess, Noel, for a couple of years, and you know, a lot of work had to go into it, and there was a huge amount of people involved in terms of the contributors to the documentary and also people within NIR and stuff supporting it. So I think it's a testament that we have been able to get to that kind of level where we can put the resources into just one piece of audio.
Well, it's put the spotlight on us for a start.
For a little while, anyway.
You know, I think that people are watching out to see what else we're up to, and it's thanks to you and all the team here. Thank you very much, and people can catch it up on just Google.
Yeah, like I said, like just Google the story of JJ Smith, or just JJ Smith, and it will probably pop up in one of the searches. And if not, just go onto our website and type JJ Smith in there, and you'll find it. It's never only a click of a button away when you're looking for something online these days. It shouldn't be that hard to find.
I should have had something bluesy ready, shouldn't I, really?
Really, you should have, yeah. No, that was a big faux pas now.
Okay. What can I say? Thanks very much, Paul.